Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
A report card on this summer's rock reunions. Today on Soundcheck, I'm John Schaefer. Let's start with the Smashing Pumpkins and the rest of the crowded field of reuniting rock bands touring this summer. Head pumpkin Billy Corgan recruited only one other original member for a new album and a string of live dates starting this Saturday. So, are they really the Smashing Pumpkins? To that end, is Genesis really Genesis without Peter Gabriel this summer? We've got two experts here to help us with this difficult term, rock reunion, and to explain what can make one a success and another a failure. First up, here in our studio, New York Times music critic Ben Ratliff. Ben, welcome back.
Hi, thank you.
So we've got The Police, obviously, but also, as I mentioned, Smashing Pumpkins, Genesis, Rage Against the Machine, Crowded House. It seems like there are reunions everywhere, but really, what's a real rock reunion?
Well, I guess it's a it's when a band that's been not officially functioning for more than, let's say, 7 years.
That sounds like you're just pulling a number out of somewhere.
has more than two members who were in the band for more than half the time the band originally existed.
All right, you're just making stuff up now.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got, you know, bands where you have a single, like Black Sabbath, a single original member of the band touring and using the name. Smashing Pumpkins, you got only two of the original lineup. I mean, at what point is it a reunion, and at what point is it like a tribute band, you know?
Yeah. Well, I guess it's the strength of the songs. I mean, the Smashing Pumpkins thing is surprising to me, because that's precisely the kind of reunion that used to happen all the time but doesn't happen so much anymore. You know, a reunion now has to have much more credibility than it used to. You know, in the old days, you know, the Temptations or the Four Tops or whatever, you know, you could see them year after year at you know, that place in Long Island.
The Westbury Music Fair.
Exactly. Yeah. But, you know, there might be one original member at best. Now it's a different situation, and I think the standard is higher. And sometimes the bands are even, you know, recording new music.
So have The Police kind of raised the bar this summer because it's the complete original lineup and because they seem to be doing really well together?
Well, yeah, it seems that they have. It seems that they have, and you know, because they really did break up, and you know, when they did break up, we heard about it, and it was final, you know, and
for over 20 years, it was final.
Yeah, a long time. Yeah, a long time.
The Police, Message in a Bottle, recorded live. It is the original lineup of Sting, Stuart Copeland, and Andy Summers, who are touring around a bunch of sold out shows this summer. Police recorded live while they were still a band, you know, their original lineup back in the 70s and 80s. Now they are once again a band, reunited and touring live this summer. We're looking at the summer rock reunions. Ben Ratliff of the New York Times is here in the studio. Joining us now on the phone is Gary Bongiovanni. He's editor of the concert industry site Polestar.com. Gary, you're the concert expert. From a professional angle, from all angles, it seems, The Police reunion appears to be a big success. Why?
Well, it is actually the original lineup of the group. Two, they've been away a long time. Three, I suppose the music really still resonates with people. Those would be the main reasons, I would think. And certainly it is a not just in the U.S., but it's a worldwide hit. And I think the band themselves have even said the response has exceeded even their wildest expectations.
Well, now, it was just one of a number of reasons that you just spelled out for us there, but the fact that they were away for so long, I mean, doesn't that, you know, it seems to me when you start talking about, you know, there's a rumor of the Spice Girls reuniting. I mean, when you start talking about bands that just haven't been gone that long, the reunion isn't news so much as it is with a band like The Police, where for 20 or more years people have been wanting this and not getting it.
That's true. You know, when you talk about a Rage Against the Machine reunion, I mean, that's almost like, I mean, a lot of people may not even know that they had broken up for a few years. So, I mean, part of it is you have to be gone for a while. I mean, another reunion that's out there that nobody's talking about at this point that will undoubtedly be huge is when Bruce Springsteen decides to regroup the E Street Band. That's been a few years, but it hasn't been that long. And there was never something that was formally broken up, but there's, I think, a huge demand for that when it happens.
So can you, Gary, predict who else, you know, who would you tab to be the other kind of big hit reunions this summer?
This summer?
Yeah. I mean, aside from what about, like, Genesis?
Genesis is the other big reunion because Phil Collins rejoining the group. True, Peter Gabriel's not in it, but it's still a major reunion. But unfortunately, I think it tends to get a little overshadowed by the Police reunion this year.
Mm-hmm. If we look at reunions through history, Ben, not too many years ago, in fact, just 2 years ago, the Pixies were reunited, and in a kind of weird musical irony, it seemed like they got more acclaim, more press, probably more money for playing their music than they ever did in their heyday back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
What made that, what was the sort of perfect storm that came together to make the Pixies tour so successful?
Well, one was that they played well, you know. But the other thing is that it seems to me the phenomenon of, you know, all these groups coming back, you know, if you were purely cynical, you could say, well, it's sort of fueled by the record industry because they can't sell new music anymore, and they're entirely promoting back catalog now. But I think there's something else happening, which is that, you know, this current generation of people who were into their, you know, late 30s, 40s, 50s, it's permissible for them to keep listening to rock music. The cliche of you turn 35 and you start listening to classical music really is less true now than it ever was.
Or if you do start listening to classical music, it doesn't mean you give up on the stuff that you grew up with.
Right. So anyway, you know, and we see it all around us, you know, 40-year-old fathers, you know, getting into the music that they loved 20 years ago with their kids. So that's what's been happening over the last 5-10 years.
All right. So the Pixies in 2004 with a very successful, a surprisingly successful reunion. I think we all expected the Police to do well, but the Pixies were kind of a surprise. And in a moment, we want to hear from you. Which rock reunion tours do you want to attend this summer? And which, perhaps this is a more interesting question, which will you be boycotting? Which ones do you just think are, you know, it's just cheesy and it doesn't belong out on the stage? Give us a call at 212-264-7483. 212-264-7483. The Pixies, big revival back in 2004, and we are looking at the phenomenon of rock reunion tours with Ben Ratliff of the New York Times, music critic here in our studio, and with Gary Bongiovanni, the editor of the concert industry site Polestar.com, who's with us on the phone. Gary, all of these bands, they're reunions because the bands broke up at some point in the past, and usually for a good reason. Do these reunions sometimes reopen old wounds? I mean, I'm sort of thinking of Simon and Garfunkel, for example.
Yeah, that certainly was kind of an uneasy reunion, but the level of business that they were able to do together was so overwhelming that I think they just kept it together. You know, there are other bands like the Eagles that probably had one of the ugliest breakups that, you know, I think those guys are actually getting along better now than they probably ever have.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have an act like Bob Seger, who didn't break up because of any fights. He just decided to retire. And, you know, I think his comeback is in part because he wanted to show his kids what it was all about.
Now, are there any examples out there of, you know, reunion tours that did not work? I mean, would you say, for example, The Doors, where they tried to find other singers to replace the late Jim Morrison, you know, was that a successful idea?
No, that didn't work out very well, and probably not surprising that it didn't. Jim Morrison was the focal point of that band, and just trying to do it without him is not really possible. You have the new Cars that are out, which actually musically is, I think, quite good. But with Todd Rundgren sitting in for Rick Ocasek, I don't think the public is seeing it as anything like the original Cars. And then going back to, like, 1989, I think there was a kind of a 20th anniversary reunion of the Jefferson Airplane with the original lineup, Paul Kantner, Grace Slick, and so on, and nobody cared.
Right. Now, what about the current Black Sabbath incarnation without Ozzy Osbourne? What do you make of that?
Well, Heaven and Hell is, you know, it doesn't have the same brand recognition that that Black Sabbath does, and we'll probably see a Black Sabbath tour next year with Ozzy. So although there are plenty of original Black Sabbath members in the Heaven and Hell lineup, it's not being billed with the brand name. Just like a few years ago we had a Page Plant tour,
right,
which, you know, it probably could have gone out as Led Zeppelin if they'd had permission from John Paul Jones to use the name. But because they didn't, it didn't have anywhere near the impact that a Led Zeppelin tour, even with the same players and the same music, would have had in terms of public response.
And the original Black Sabbath did play Ozfest once or twice over the last 10 years.
And
they were very good.
And so some of these reunions actually becomes almost like an annual... There's the annual farewell tour of The Who, for example.
Right.
Ben, I mean, is this... Are these reunions, is it a function of a crippled music industry that, you know, these are the sturdy, these are the crutches that they can lean on in lean times?
Well, the concert industry has been fueled by acts that date back to the 60s and 70s now for many decades, in part because of the baby boomer generation really was the first to embrace rock and roll, and it hasn't changed their musical taste. But, you know, that's not an unusual situation.
Ben?
Right. I mean, I think that the allegiance of fans' allegiance to 60s, to great and famous 60s groups is incredibly strong, you know, stronger than is the case for bands that came along in the 80s.
Mm. Yeah. Ben, would you agree that Pink Floyd is probably the biggest possible reunion that's still out there?
With all original members?
Yes.
Would that be true? I guess so. Well, I was going to say, you know, Led Zeppelin, except, you know, you'd get a different drummer. But
Right. And then, of course, with Pink Floyd, there will be a small coterie of fans saying, it can't be Pink Floyd without Sid Barrett, and he's mm-hmm. dead. So
mm-hmm.
You get into kind of philosophical questions almost.
Right.
Let's take a call or two. Our number is 212-264-7483. John in Weehawken joining us on Soundcheck. Hey, John.
Hey, how are you?
All right. What do you think about all this?
Well, you know, my first comment is really about an article I read this month in Rolling Stone magazine where you had mentioned earlier in the program about that Temptations coming and doing shows all over and not having any original members. And I guess in Las Vegas, according to this article, they've actually put a somewhat of a ban on had been calling themselves in Temptations. Now they actually are being forced by law to identify themselves as a tribute band.
Right. That's a new law on the books in the state of Nevada that because you had this weird thing where you would have two or three bands in Vegas at the same time playing the same songs. You know, you might have one original member in one band and another original member fronting another band. Ben, here closer to home, the Jay Black of Jay and the Americans, it was kind of a messy lawsuit over who could be Jay of Jay and the Americans. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's an interesting point. You know, tribute bands, it's not quite the same thing that we're talking about, but it sort of goes to that the idea of resonating, the continuing resonance with the music you grew up with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, my position about reunions is that if there's a way to look at it if they can be looked at non-sentimentally, non-nostalgically, as much as possible, then that's a useful way to look at it, because it all comes down to what this band sounds like on a certain stage to a certain crowd, you know, on a certain night.
Now, you saw the band X, the Los Angeles-based, you know, punk band,
right,
back in August of 06, and you wrote that it was great. Was it just, you know, you happened to catch them on the right night?
Could have been, and it was the original members. There was something else. There was something else at play. Maybe it had to do with the fact that a lot of the band's best songs were about marriage. And, you know, marriage is something that you can get older and still be singing about it believably.
Mm-hmm. And you also had the case of a married couple at the heart of the band.
Right, right, who are not married anymore.
Not married anymore.
And also you had a rhythm section that could still really play and keep tempos well. That's another thing, another reason why this is happening better now, I think, is that people stay healthier longer.
Mm. All right. Well, I mean, it's a very practical point, but a good one to make. The band X.
Thousands of lights, thousands of people. She's forgotten him for the bodies around her. Shot. It's strange.
And the rest of the band X. We're talking about rock reunions. There are a lot of them touring around, many of them quite successful this summer. Ben Ratliff, music critic of the New York Times, is with us in the studio. Gary Bongiovanni, editor of the concert industry site Polestar.com, is with us on the phone. So are a number of our Soundcheck listeners, including Tyler, who joins us from Brooklyn. Tyler.
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, in the house. All right, so what particular reunion floats your boat or not?
Well, first, it's all about the original members, and I think this year it's all about Rage Against the Machine.
Now, you know, I think Gary mentioned before that there are probably people who weren't even aware that they had disbanded. I mean, they haven't been very active, but you still hear them on the radio occasionally. What is that big news to you, that Rage Against the Machine is together again and touring?
Oh, yes. I mean, they're only playing a few shows this year, but that's epic. I mean, that's a seminal band from the 90s, and it's about time for some political rock back on the scene.
Well, now, Ben, you mentioned, I think, in one of your articles that actually the time for Rage Against the Machine to be back on the scene would have been actually during the election.
It's true. It's kind of like, you know, where have they been this whole time? You know, they only reunited after the Democratic landslide a while ago. But, I mean, yes, I saw Rage Against the Machine at Coachella last month, or a little more than a month ago, and the crowd was completely primed for it. In fact, in the days leading up to their performance, every time a Rage Against the Machine song was played on the PA system between bands, people would just start going crazy. So mm-hmm. The anticipation was really strong, the performance was good, although I'm not particularly a fan, and they were pretty much the same as they were before.
Gary, what's the feeling out there, as far as you're seeing, on the part of fans who are ponying up sizable chunks of their weekly paycheck to see these reunions. In fact, I mean, we've got a couple of callers on the line who that's what they want to talk about. I mean, it's got to be a big issue.
Well, I mean, part of what's fueling all these reunions, too, is the realization that there's a lot of money to be made, and many of these musicians are in their 50s and 60s, so it's a do it now or never, or forget about ever doing it. As an industry, we've seen our average ticket prices more than double in the last 10 years. So obviously the cash flows are much bigger.
Now with the recording side of things, you know, kind of tanking in recent years, is this a kind of a natural correction that musicians are making their living now, not from the record contract, but from the live performances?
I think just the realization that that's where their real money is. There's a lot of concern over finding a proper way to monetize recorded music right now, and that's why record companies are in a great deal of turmoil. But I don't think anybody is predicting that there's going to be any absence of the live music business. There's still a demand to see these acts live.
All right, let me ask you both a final question. Ben, I'll ask you first. But, you know, at the end of the summer, when all the touring is done, what will have defined the good reunion tours as opposed to those that are just kind of hype and, you know, flash and not much substance?
Well, I think performances that really depended on the music, how well the music was played, how flexible the musicians seemed on stage, and how successful they were at kind of doing that working band thing of passing information back and forth on stage.
Does it have anything to do with, I mean, you're a working band has new songs to play. Most of these reunion tours are not about new songs.
Right. Almost all of them.
Right.
Or in fact, the usual thing is they'll do like one new song, just kind of squeeze it out, you know, because they wouldn't feel honest otherwise.
Gary, at the end, is it about, you know, how much money is it the gross? Is that the bottom line, in a manner of speaking?
Well, I mean, it is all about the Benjamins. Yeah, I mean, it is money, and that's how these people make their living, so I don't know that you'd fault them for it.
Right.
I mean, the real problem we have is that everybody's charging a premium for their best seats, and what one act charges versus another is a huge difference.
Well, there are some tours that are happening, and then there are others that are not. The rumored Van Halen reunion tour with David Lee Roth and Eddie Van Halen and the whole gang. That was squashed earlier this year, followed by a stint in rehab, so who knows if that'll happen. But in the meantime, the Police, Genesis, and all the rest are touring North America. And we've been speaking with Ben Ratliff of the New York Times and Gary Bongiovanni from Polestar.com. Guys, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
This is Soundcheck.